Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. It hadn't been a great day for Simon. He and his fishing partners had been out on the water for hours and hadn't caught anything. And yet, even with a catch of zero, they still had to clean their nets. And so there Simon is, cleaning his fishless nets, the last thing he has to do before he can just go home. He looks up and sees somebody getting on his boat. "Oh, great," he thinks. "All this, and now some fool is trying to commandeer my boat." That's literally the last thing he needs today. The man that's trying to steal his boat asks Simon to start to row his boat out to the water. Simon thinks, "Now this thief is expecting me to help him get across the water. What's going on?" He looks up and he realizes that it isn't a thief. It's Jesus. "Well, I guess I sort of owe him one," Simon thinks. After all, Jesus had recently healed Simon's mother-in-law from a terrible illness. The least Simon could do was to give Jesus a ride in his boat. After all, once he snapped out of his net-cleaning concentration, he noticed that a crowd had formed around Jesus, and perhaps Jesus was just looking for some space. He could help him out a bit here. So he takes him a little ways from the shore, and Jesus does a little bit of teaching for the crowd that has gathered round. Jesus finishes teaching and turns to Simon and asks him casually to throw down his nets and catch some fish. Simon has some grace for Jesus. After all, Jesus is a carpenter's son, not a fisherman's son, so he might not know that they already fished all night, prime fishing time, and caught nothing. So why should anything work differently when now it's daytime and they aren't even going to a different place? They already failed. They aren't catching fish today. But then Simon remembers how Jesus healed his mother-in-law and how he didn't think that was possible either. So he figures he has nothing left to lose except cleaning his nets again. And so he throws out his nets into the deep water. Simon throws out his nets, and suddenly he has an overabundance of fish. He calls for his fishing buddies, and they come to help him get the nets back in the boat before the nets break. They're able to get the nets back in, but they have so many fish in the boats that the boats are starting to sink. What a quick change from scarcity to abundance, from failure to success, from no fish to almost too many fish. As soon as Simon catches his breath from dealing with this, he turns and looks to Jesus. And he sees something new. He already knew that Jesus was somebody after he healed his mother-in-law, but now he sees it. Jesus isn't just somebody. Jesus is the one. This mix of amazement and fear overcomes Simon. He tells Jesus to go away because it's too much for him to handle in the moment. But then Jesus, the same Jesus that can heal and give fish, and in a moment change Simon's life, says to him, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." In one sentence, Jesus offers Simon comfort, encouragement, and a life-changing challenge. And perhaps because of the combination, Simon takes Jesus up on his challenge. He and James and John, who have been fishing with him and witnessed the whole thing, they all leave everything, and they go and follow Jesus. Because in this encounter, their lives have been changed. In this encounter, the Jesus that they thought they knew turned out to be way more than they realized. But they don't have to be afraid. Jesus has promised them that. And Jesus has also promised them so much more. A life of calling and abundance. A life where Jesus can just show up in any moment, any normal moment, any failure of a moment, and change everything. If only we let him. And Simon, will he let Jesus show up and change everything for him? Now this story, it doesn't just belong to Simon. It's our story too. This story, it starts when Jesus shows up in the middle of our lives, in the places that we live, work, learn, play, talk, serve, shop, worship, drive, exist. Don't put it past Jesus to come and commandeer your boat today. Jesus shows up in our everyday. And Jesus asks us to do just one thing. One thing that might seem a little strange, but not too out there. Just one thing outside your normal routine. Throw your nets back out in the water after you haven't caught any fish all night. Pause for a moment to ask somebody how they're doing and really listen to the answer. Volunteer for a ministry at church even though you haven't tried that one before. Sign up for your first small group. Say no to spending money or time on something that you don't really need. Turn on live stream church on a morning when you would rather just watch Netflix. Decide to open up your Bible and read some scripture each morning. Listen to the nudge that tells you that you could be the one to tell that person about Jesus. It's in moments like these that Jesus shows up. And before you think, well, I definitely don't have my life together enough for that, remember that Jesus even shows up in our moments of failure and disappointment and struggle. Actually, it might even be more true to say that Jesus especially shows up in our moments of failure and disappointment and struggle. Jesus often comes to us when we least expect it. And those times when we're least expecting Jesus, aren't those often when we fail? When we're stuck in our futility? When everything seems to be going wrong? When we get the bad news? Jesus does not typically show up to people who have it all under control, who think they do everything right and have all the right answers, people who are overcome with success. No, Jesus is much more about showing up in our lives after long nights of catching no fish and pointing us back out into the deep water again. I recently read a book called No Cure for Being Human by Kate Bowler. Kate is a theology professor at Duke University who, in her mid-30s, was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. She wrote her first memoir, Everything Happens for a Reason and Other Lies I've Loved, to tell this story. You see, Kate has spent much of her academic career studying, although not believing, the prosperity gospel preachers, those name it and claim it types who say that God wants to reward us when we do good, and that bad things are punishment. So she writes her first memoir through these eyes of that study. And then the second memoir that I just read tells the story of her treatment, as she deals with the news that she doesn't have long to live, while trying to make each day count with her husband and young son. Something that drew me to these books is the way that Kate describes how Jesus shows up during all of this. It's definitely not a success or accomplishment. Instead, for her, Jesus often shows up in moments when she feels as though she has been fishing all night and caught nothing. And Jesus shows up and tells her to just throw out her net one more time. And perhaps most amazing, much like Simon, is that Kate does it. She keeps letting Jesus show up and call her to something bigger. Despite the failures, despite the setbacks, despite the hardship, Jesus has shown up and called her to abundance. Not healing, not everything being good, but abundance. A voice of abundance that lets her offer words of hope to others. A podcast where she interviews others and they share wisdom about how to follow Jesus even when it's hard. She's out there catching fish and catching people in the name of Jesus because she knows and trusts abundance comes not only from our own success, but from God. It's Simon's story and it's Kate's story and it's our story. Jesus shows up in the unexpected moments and calls us to something bigger. Jesus shows up in the unexpected moments and we suddenly realize that Jesus is more than we could ever realize. Because when Jesus shows up in our everyday lives, it most often happens that he is there to call us to something more, to call us to live into the abundance of God, to call us to catch some fish or catch some people, or in some way to follow him. That's why we have to pay attention to what Jesus is doing in our lives, because it's always calling us to more, even when we are struggling and failing and discouraged. Even when we seem like the most unlikely person for Jesus to call. Because Jesus is a big fan of the unlikely characters. He calls fishermen who don't actually catch any fish. He calls theology professors who are diagnosed with cancer. He calls people that the world thinks are failures. He calls people who grieve. He calls people who just got bad news. He calls people with broken relationships. He calls people during a pandemic. He calls people lacking purpose and meaning and gives them both. Jesus calls them because that's exactly who Jesus is. Jesus sees abundance where others see scarcity. Jesus sees potential where others see disappointment. Jesus sees grace where others see failure. And Jesus calls us to see that way too. Jesus calls us to join him, to follow him, to be a part of what he is doing in each of our lives, even when, no, especially when, our lives are hard, even when, no, especially when, we feel like we are failing, even when, no, especially when, we need every ounce of Jesus we can get to see a glimmer of hope and abundance. That's the blessing and calling of Christ, that Jesus is going to show up in our lives, especially when we have fished all night and caught nothing. I want to close with a word of blessing from Kate Bowler. It's called A Blessing for When You Realize Everybody is Struggling. Blessed are you who have realized that life is hard, and it's hard for everyone. Your awareness came at a cost. You lost something you can't get back. You were diagnosed with chronic pain or degenerative disease. Your family fell apart, and things have never been the same. Blessed are you who gave up the myth that the good life is one of happiness, success, perfection. The life that looks beautiful on Facebook but isn't real. You who realize that it is okay to not be okay, to not have a shiny life, because no one does. Blessed are you who see things clearly, where struggle is everyone's normal. You walk among the fellowship of the afflicted, a club no one wants to join. And while this life isn't shiny, it does come with superpowers. Superpowers of ever-widening empathy and existential courage that gets you back up after another fall. And a deepened awe at the beauty and love that can be found amid life's rubble. Like flowers that grow from cracks in the sidewalk, these virtues blossom in you and thank God for you. Blessed are all of us who struggle, for we are in good company and will never walk alone. Amen.